Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Jaya Godadha Shiva Sadi
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 13, 1982 in Bangkok, Thailand. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 37.
Translation of Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 37. The Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas. His arms are the Kshatriyas. His thighs are the Vaishyas. And the Sudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord.
Brahmananam kshatra bhujo mahatma vidururangri sita krishna varna nana bhida bhija gano papanno dravyatmaka karma vidana yoga.
So, this way, all the people in society can engage their propensities for serving the Lord. As Prabhupada has mentioned here, intelligent class of men or brahmanas may give direction for such sacrifices and consultation with the previous acharyas. The brahmanas are those persons who are trained to advise rest of society how to perform sacrifices, how to serve Krishna. Not that they do so by their own imagination, but they do so taking consultation with the advice of previous acharyas. In this way, the sacrifices are all perfect. So we need, first of all, the brahmanas to teach people how to perform sacrifice. If people do not perform sacrifice, then it's very difficult for them to become purified and become advanced. So in any society, first thing is necessary are the brahmanas to train the rest of the society. But we find that in some countries, where the government is not giving the facilities to perform such sacrifice, it's more difficult for the brahmanas to preach. So, the administrators, the kshatriyas, provinces, may give all facilities to perform such sacrifices. Just like in Bangladesh, it's a Muslim government, so they're not giving very much facility to the Krishna devotees for performing sacrifice. So it's more difficult for preaching under such circumstances. Because not only they don't give facility, but in many ways they may put up obstacles. Although somehow or another, to whatever extent we get facility, we're able to do. But even there we get some facility, so we're able to do. But say in some other countries like Peking or something like that, it's very difficult because the government gives absolutely no facility to perform any sacrifice for Krishna. So therefore, it's very difficult. On the other hand, if the government actually supports, it makes it very easy. Just like some places we're trying to get registration for ISKCON society. Where we get registration, immediately our activities, they can expand in many ways. So where the registration is being withheld, we are experiencing so many difficulties. So that means that government support is also a factor. In spite of absence of government support, still then the preachers somehow or another go on. But then it's in spite of that. It's against that. It's without the support. But if we have the support, then it makes everything very easy. So, that's the second point here. First you need the preachers, the intelligent class of people who can present Krishna consciousness. Then, after that, you need the support of the government, you need the administrators' support. It's like, if actually we had the full support of the government, they give so much money for welfare, so much money for so many different programs. If they gave regular budget for performing sacrifice to Krishna, as they did in the Vedic time, then people would naturally be encouraged more and more to becoming God conscious. The very ideal situation. Even in America, they give 100% tax exemption for religion. So even though the government otherwise doesn't involve itself, they take a hand-off policy. Still, indirectly, they're helping by giving the tax exemption. In India, if a donor gives money to a religion, he doesn't get any tax exemption. So indirectly, the government fining the person to give to his religion. Because if he gives to the religion, he has to again pay income tax on that. That means he not only is he taking out from his pocket, giving to the religion, but also again he has to pay tax on that to the government. So that's like paying a fine. So it discourages people from giving for religious purposes. So that's why we've seen that in India the religious practices are going down as compared to the time when the British were there, when all the kings and jamindars, they would make money and they would give a lot of donation for religious functions. Even a Mohammedan ruler at that time would also give money for the Hindu function. And even a Hindu ruler would give money for a Buddhist or for a Mohammedan function. It was very open. And so in this way, all the religious institutions were flourishing. As soon as the democratic government came in, all these landlords, kings, rajas, nawabs were abolished. Then the government took sectarian. We don't favor any religion. Then at that point, everything went down. Now, those same royal families are coming to us and begging us, you please take over our temples, we cannot maintain anymore. One is working in the bank, one is to open a factory, one is here, they're all scattered. There's no one to look at the temple. They have some property, some their old royal property, everything is taken away except for the deity house and a little land around the temple, stuck off in different parts of the country. Because they were managing all the little princely states. Now there's no one to see for the religious activities. So this is right before our eyes in the last 30 years we could see how, due to lack of administrative support, how the religious enthusiasm of the people was, now, first the brahmanas lost. Second, administration was somehow or another keeping it going. When they came, when they left, then it was that much harder for the brahmanas who were not that enthusiastic to begin with. There was no one to support the brahmanas, then they came down. And now then the only other thing here, next point, is that the Vaishya or mercantile community who produce such goods may offer them for sacrifice. So Vaishyas, generally speaking, they're always very active in making money and making goods and making various kind of production. You see, they're completely absorbed in this mood of production. So, especially if the government and brahmanas are favorable, if the government and the preachers are encouraging them, then the mercantile community, they can give the products of their hard labor, business enterprises for propagating Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is saying here, not only they should give ghee, clarified butter, but they should give the manufactured items, Sony tape recorders, PA systems, cars, whatever may be they're producing, Boeing jets, they should give what they're producing. Not only that, they should take some butter, here you go. Take some chapati. But here, whatever they're producing, all these big companies, all the big Japanese firm, Mitsubishi, etc., etc., they should all be giving some percentage of their products. Alright, these products you take for propagating God consciousness all over the world. Just like they're giving under United Nations Food Organization, under UNESCO, so many things are being given for, just like Swedish government gave $20 million to an African country to buy nets to put over the orange trees so that the birds would not eat the oranges. You see. Things like this. They're spending so much money. So then, you know, that instead they use the nets to catch fish. Anyway, that's another thing. The point is that they have so much money, the government is taking that money from the mercantile community. And they don't know what to do with it. So they're using so many ideas. One story happened that in Japan they sent one whole shipload of tractors and everything to Bangladesh. And this is a donation to Bangladesh. They can use a tractor for plowing and everything like that. But then Bangladesh government said that you have to pay the duty. Then only we'll accept. They said, we're giving you the thing, why do you have to pay duty? You take it and use it. You can do whatever you like with it. You see. They said, no, you're giving us, that's alright, but who'll pay the duty? They said, we're giving you our duty. You see, you take it. It's the government, you can do what you want. No, you have to pay the duty. So for 1 year the ship was just tied up. So finally the Japanese government got so fed up that they pulled their ship out of the dock and right in the bay outside the dock. One by one they threw off all the tractor, all the bulldozer right in the ocean there. Just in front. Here, you take it. We don't want. And then went off. So these things are going on. They don't know what to do. Now if all these products were given to Krishna consciousness, we know how to use them in sacrifice, producing grains, producing different preaching programs. You see. The brahmanas, they can advise, but then you also need people who can offer their manual labor for the successful functioning of the sacrifice. Everyone, some who are there who will give manual labor. You see, not that everyone will be even though they may be technically all Vaishnavas, so they're all higher than brahmanas. You see, but some will be there for using their brain how to perform sacrifice. Some will be there administrating, some will be there producing the products, making the money, and some will be there, they'll be able to just do the manual labor. Different type of service, maybe. Some may do all the four services if needed. That's a separate thing. You see, not that everyone necessarily will always do all the four. One person may just do one may do another. And if someone may be so expert, obviously brahmana if needed, he could even do manual labor, but he won't be very expert. He won't be very physically strong necessarily. But if necessary, he may also be able to do something. But that won't be his propensity. So each person may have some specific propensity. Someone may be more versatile, some may be more specialized. Whatever it may be, that propensity should be used for offering a sacrifice. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Haritoshanam. Sangsiddhim haritoshanam. That you get all perfection when you satisfy Krishna. Sacrifice is not something abstract, but it means to satisfy the Lord. So what can be more satisfying to the Lord in this Kali Yuga than chanting His holy names? Because by this all the people are benefited. You see. Thus, by their cooperation of all classes of human beings, the sacrifice recommended in this age, namely the sacrifice of congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, may be executed for the common welfare of all the people of the world. So, here chanting Hare Krishna, distributing Krishna prasadam, and performing various type of preaching function, these can be executed. Just like now in Bangladesh, we were just there, they put on one drama. So they use strobe light. They use the amplifying system. They use the lighting system. They use the tape recorder. They use so many equipment. Because of that, the drama was very attractive. They had Lord Shiva coming out there with a strobe light, and then he was dancing with his trishur, and he had some ghosts dancing behind him. And because of the lighting was so dynamic, the people were all shrieking and shouting and crying out, you see. So we use all these things. Prabhupada, we can use everything in the service of Krishna. You see, even if they give us, even they may give us the atomic bomb, we'll find some way of using it. Maybe we'll use it to crack stones for building temples, you see. Just knock down one mountain and have so many bricks. Whatever, we'll think of something or another. So, in this way, when people engage their products in the service of Krishna, you see, then immediately they get purified. They get purified in so many different ways that all the little defects in their life, those things are rectified. Just like, what is sinful life? Sinful life means I'm hurting my body, I'm hurting others' body. Just like you eat meat. That means you have to kill an animal. So for killing an animal, that means you cause the animal suffering, you have to suffer. So like this, people are doing things throughout the day, throughout their life, which are causing pain to others. So undoubtedly, they're going to have to suffer. So the thing is, by this chanting, by performing the sacrifice, so many other living entities are being benefited. They're being purified, they're being uplifted, they're being brought closer to Krishna. So that means you're relieving them of so many pains. That means that the person who in his own life he may commit so many sinful activities, but by helping others, then those are all counteracted. Sometimes people think that, oh, he's such a wealthy man, he's doing so much black market, he's doing so many illegal activity. Then he goes to the temple and he gives something. So how he'll be forgiven for that? But they're not understanding that by going to temple, if that person gives something, so then even then, alright, he may have done something black. But yes, he does get purified because he's doing with, even there might be some black stigma on that money. Although it's technicality nowadays, what's black, what's white is all a relative affair. You see. But even take it that, alright, it might be black. He's doing something for uplifting people. So yes, naturally it will counteract that. In fact, if the upliftment is more than the contamination, say that black means, alright, so he smuggled in something from the government, he didn't pay the proper tax. But whether or not, how much he actually hurt anyone by that. He may have broken a law of man, but did he break any law of God? This is one factor. Then if he gives something to God, and then he, by this, he is benefiting other people, yes, the result will be far greater in that sense. That will be weighed out, that by what the person is doing, how much benefit is given, and by what he did bad, how much harm was done. And accordingly, it will be adjusted. So when one is engaging in preaching of Krishna consciousness, in that sacrifice, because the good is eternal, whatever is being done for a person who cheers Hare Krishna, who's taking prasad, that benefit doesn't go. That remains as a permanent asset. Therefore, naturally, that effect is far greater than even the other, he might make some small mistakes in his life. So then the problem comes, not a problem, but then the thing is there, that alright, a person is doing some sinful activity. And then that person may be doing some sacrifice. So that sinful activity is counteracted by the sacrifice. But what happens is that if the person doesn't chant Hare Krishna regularly, if the person doesn't have any sadhana, then actually the heart doesn't become purified. The actual karmas may become purified. Suffering and enjoying may be adjusted. But the heart, the attraction to Krishna, that doesn't get purified by say, or some ordinary just donation or some ordinary just manual labor. But this is where the congregational chanting of the holy name is so important, because by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that actually cleans away the dirts in the heart. The dirts which block us from knowing that we are the servant of Krishna. Just as in Bhagavad Gita it says, Bahunam janmanam ante ganavang mang prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabam. That great, great ganis, great yogis, even after many, many births, only they're able to understand that Krishna is everything. Then they can understand, I am the servant of Krishna. But by this chanting of Hare Krishna, one becomes purified so quickly that anywhere in the world, by chanting, people can very quickly come to understand, yes, I am the servant of Krishna. So by understanding they're the servant of Krishna, then it's very easy for them to make further advancement. That's a very big hurdle. Even they may know that I'm not the body. They may know I'm the spirit soul. They may know about karma. They may know so many things. But then that actual understanding, yeah, I'm the servant of Krishna. That is the most advanced stage. That's their actual sarupa siddhi, or being situated in their real constitutional position. So that is given very quickly by this congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore we should encourage people to chant Hare Krishna and engage them somehow or another also in the preaching, because individually chanting will help them a lot. And if they engage in helping others to chant, then that also will help them more in getting rid of any offenses that they may be committing against the Holy Name. So Prabhupada is so merciful that he's engaged everyone immediately into the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote a beautiful poem called the Dushtamontu Mikisha Vaishnav, that materialistic mind, or you rascal mind, what type of Vaishnav are you? And in the last stanzas of that poem, he said that, yes, the devotees, that they're also hungry for some kind of a position, you see. But they're not hungry for any material position. They're not hungry for any material name, fame, or glory. But they're hungry for a position in the service of Krishna. They're hungry to see that Krishna is put in everyone's heart and everyone's head. For that, they can accept any position or any facility or any thing whatsoever for preaching Krishna consciousness. And within that, there's not even the slightest scent of any kind of material desire. That is a pure spiritual desire. And he stated, why they're preaching? They're preaching because they are the real Brijvasis. They're the real residents of Vrindavan. It says, pranachi jar. Pranachi tar se hetu pochar. Because they have pran, because they have got life, they have compassion, they have actually spiritual assets, spiritual wealth of pure spiritual life. Therefore, they have this desire to preach Krishna consciousness. This desire to preach, actually to bring people to become servants of Krishna, is not a material desire. It is a pure spiritual desire. It is a symptom of being situated in confidential devotional service to the Lord. So, we should absorb ourselves in the preaching mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever is necessary to bring people to that platform of chanting Hare Krishna, of surrendering to Krishna. We should simply throw ourselves, heart, soul, mind, words, deeds, everything, we should simply absorb ourselves in that mood of bringing people somehow or another to chanting the holy name of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, which will give them that faith and understanding, and taking Krishna Prasadam and all the other programs which will bring them to complete surrender to Krishna and to rendering devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Panchatattva ki jai. Any questions?
I have one technical question. I hear two opinions about those who had the first initiation or the second initiation from now the presence of
When Tamalakrishna Goswami asked Prabhupada that what about those disciples of yours who have taken first initiation but you have not yet given them second? And if they take initiation from one of your disciples, then what will be their position? Then Prabhupada said, they're my disciples. They're my disciples, therefore. So is this like when Rishabhdev left, he told all the 100 sons that you look at Bharat just like me. You follow him as your head. You see. So if someone takes second initiation, that means they have to just see that they're initiating this second initiator, just like the such a senior brother that directly Prabhupada is working through that person. Still their direct relationship is there with Prabhupada. Just like, say, a person is born and just then the mother and father die, and he's brought up by the son. Then what is his situation? Still, it's not that that is a father, but still relationship is not just the same as a brother, a twin brother or something. It's not going to be the same. It's a different type of relationship. Hare Krishna. That means that Prabhupada is considering they're his sons. But that definitely there's some responsibility there for the second initiating guru, so that should be some deep respect and, you know, because some responsibility is there, special responsibility, no doubt. Any other question? He's saying that we're supposed to get right away. So, Prabhupada is going to go to Nepal, but now we're trying to convince him that he should go on the way to Puri and get Jagannath and order the Lord Chaitanya. Both. Sarabhuj. You see, this is actually quite big. You can have very big Jagannath here. You don't have to have little this big. This is a big space. I think you can have 4 or 5 feet.
5 feet. But you must have some space in between each date
for the rest.
This is why it's, then you need this much in between each date.
But of course, you know, the date of you not back with a little more from the
easier. The deity should be up a little bit.
Yeah. Actually there should be very high at the time.
Did they say here that I think they have to have a little more like overwhelming type of awe, and there should be some bright lights, and maybe you can use the system of, you know, opening and closing like in Bunky Bihari temple.
And just now you were saying that there will be one more deity of Sarabhuj in bronze for
for Utsav deity, you could have a small sharabush in front that could also, that could be wood or brass, but brass is easy for bathing and everything.
Sharabush.
Six-armed Lord Chaitanya will be here. Rama, Krishna and Chaitanya. Prabhupada recommended in Hong Kong or for in China that for Chinese people it should be six-armed Lord Chaitanya. They need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but the six arms will be very... I think even in Thailand, our best customers are the Chinese Thais anyway. And in any case, it's all similar. But here also, because Ram is very prominent in... so, Sarabhuj Chaitanya with Ram, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya would be very appropriate.
Many people have shown Narayan Davis in their photos.
In fact, you could have the small brass ones made here and then have them for sale that people can worship in their house. They went out of wood so you can paint the arms blue, green, yellow, golden. Actually, Lord Chaitanya can be quite big.
We can have the paraphernalia, real
paraphernalia. Yes, real paraphernalia. What about Prabhupada's murti?